Before we dig into that, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we can gather together to learn more from you. Lord, help us to hear from you this morning. Help us to obey to what we hear. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I wonder if you have ever asked yourself this question, what is your legacy? It seems a bit morbid, isn't it? Because often that is what we think about or begin to think about as we near the end of our life. But I wonder if that's something actually we should be thinking about more. What is our legacy as Christians, as people that are walking around the world, going to Asda or Aldi, wherever we shop, other supermarkets are available. But what are we giving? What is our legacy that we're providing in how we're interacting with the world around us? I wonder if that's something we even think about. It's something I've considered as I'm moving on to my next stage of ministry. What is my legacy here? It sounds a bit self-indulgent, doesn't it? But actually, I don't want it to be about me, but what legacy of the kingdom am I leaving behind? What legacy is going to impact others in the years to come? It's a good question for us to think about and ponder about. And actually, we've gained from different people's legacies in our own faith. I don't know how much reading you do or kind of think about the great kind of people of faith. But I remember reading about, I think it's James Hudson Taylor, who was sort of a missionary. And those kind of missionaries kind of back in the day who basically, their suitcases they went out on the kind of ships was their coffin. Because that was what they thought they would then be coming back in. So all their possessions went out in the coffin, and on the return it would be them. Or thinking about people like Corrie ten Boom, what kind of legacy she left. I remember reading her books as a young teenager and just being really inspired about her faith in the midst of a really challenging time of kind of being in kind of concentration camp and the kind of her relationship with her dad and all that kind of stuff. It's a legacy that has continued on, probably way beyond what she probably ever thought or imagined, sharing of her faith and passing that on to future generations. My mum passed away 6 years ago, and she'd been diagnosed 4 years before that with terminal cancer. So we lived with this life-limiting condition for quite a long time. And part of that meant that we were part of the hospice movement, so we befriended a lot of people that, sadly, were ending their life, nearing the end of their life. And so we went to quite a lot of funerals. And so we kind of often had conversations about kind of the amazing things people had done. It was great stories you hear about people. And we were listening to one, we were at one where it was a former Navy fighter pilot. And some incredible stories of how they'd sort of been in this amazing experience. And my mum turned to me and whispered, I don't think I've done anything with my life. Like, my funeral's going to be really boring. And I kind of turned to her and kind of went, Mum, I'm your legacy. And I kind of said it a little bit tongue in cheek, but actually there was something really serious and sincere about it, because my mum brought me up to know and love Jesus, to walk in the way of faith, to serve him in all that I did, even when I was a physiotherapist at uni, all throughout school. My whole life was about kind of loving God and serving others. And so in sincerity, I could say that to her, that in a sense I am her legacy, that I can continue that on by sharing that with other people, sharing about the Christian faith and the joy that it is to serve the Lord in everything that we do. I found this quote from Billy Graham, which I thought really summed that up and summed up that sort of legacy that Mum has passed on to me. The greatest legacy one can pass on to one's children and grandchildren is not money or other material things accumulated in one's life, but rather a legacy of character and faith. So what is the kingdom legacy we leave with people? My prayer is that it is one of character and faith, that we can share the joy of the Christian faith with others, and that develops and molds not only our character, but those beyond and beyond us. And that's exactly what we read about in our reading today. David was king of Israel, a man after God's own heart, and David has come to the end of his earthly life. And he gives this charge to Sodom just before our reading this morning. We get these words from 1 Kings chapter 2, 2 to 4. And if you've got it open in front of you, just flip back to look at that. But these are the words that David charges with to Solomon. So he says, "So be strong, act like a man, and observe what the Lord your God requires. Walk in obedience to him, and keep his decrees and commands, his laws and regulations, as written in the law of Moses. Do this so that you may prosper in all you do and wherever you go, and that the Lord may keep his promise to me. If your descendants watch how they live, and if they walk faithfully before me with all their heart and soul, you will never fail to have a successor on the throne of Israel." This, in a sense, was David's kingdom legacy that he was passing on to Solomon to continue to be a king that ruled with God by his side, that kind of walked the ways of the Lord, following all the commandments that he'd been given. And we read in our reading this morning that kind of Solomon does continue that legacy, that he shows loyalty to God, that he's obedient, that he takes Deuteronomy 6, verse 5, seriously about loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. And we see that he worships God through offering sacrifices, and not just one or two, it says thousands. Can you imagine? Thousands of sacrifices given. That's abundance. That's plentiful worship. A bit of a side note, because in some passages in the Bible we read of kind of, I think particularly it was Saul that gave a kind of offering and wasn't supposed to. It was supposed to be set aside for kind of the Levites and the priests of the time to do this kind of sacrificial offering. But kind of the commentaries talk about actually there was no temple at this point and the high places were seemed to be okay as long as the true motivation of worship for Yahweh, for God, was at the center of that giving of the sacrifice. And another one says that actually the wording means actually he wasn't doing the sacrifice, that actually probably assumed that there were priests doing that, but it was his offering, that kind of sense of giving all of that kind of wealth and abundance in worship to God. And so Solomon is continuing that legacy of being loyal to God, of worshipping God, and acknowledging God's faithfulness. We read as we go on when he has this vision from God, that he acknowledges all that God has done for his family and for his himself being in that place of honor as king of Israel. And he displays humility, knowing that it's not his kind of just him that's made this happen, but actually that it's God. See, Solomon offers worship to God and God speaks to him. And he kind of appears in this dream. He has an encounter with God. And God says to him, "Ask for whatever you want me to give you. Ask for whatever you want me to give to you." I wonder what you would ask for. We've had a great opportunity this morning, haven't we, of asking God for things, of bringing before him our requests as well as our praise. And actually, they're great things to ask God for. See, when God asks us this question, he promises to answer. It stimulates faith and character as we continue to ask for things and trust in him that he gives us good things. And in the context of this passage, it's about kind of things that benefit others. What do we ask God for that might help benefit the wider church and community? And definitely asking for people to come to faith, asking people for being part of the kingdom of God is a way of extending God's kingdom, sharing that kingdom legacy. And the New Testament encourages us to ask for things. In Matthew, we read this: "If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer." And in John's Gospel, "I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." We acknowledge that that can be challenging at times, that there are things that sometimes we ask for and we're not given, that there can be things we ask for that happen that we really wish didn't happen. But I think in the context of this passage, it very much is about kind of asking for what we can have from God to benefit those around us. Doesn't mean we can't ask for miracles to happen. We believe in a God that performs miracles. But we know that God has bigger plans, sometimes than we can kind of grasp and understand. So it's not saying that we kind of, don't think this is saying that when we don't have enough faith if things aren't answered. But I think in this context, we're thinking about asking God for what can help build us up as the kingdom of God, that kingdom legacy. It's a much more complicated subject, so do come and grab me if there's things that kind of that brings up in you. But actually knowing that we can trust that if we ask for whatever we want, God will give to us. And so what does Solomon ask for? Well, he asks for wisdom. And in this context, what is wisdom? Well, one commentator, John Goldingay, writes this. He says, the way the wisdom books, and that's sort of Song of Solomon, Job, the way the wisdom books in the Old Testament will put it, is that reverence of God is the beginning of wisdom, meaning listening to God and doing what God says. I wonder if you would ask for wisdom. When I asked you what would you ask for, was that top of your list? I'm not sure, it probably would have been mine in all honesty. But Solomon asked for wisdom. And in the passage, we see that he asked for wisdom in humility. He acknowledges that he needs God, that it's God that's given him this position and this responsibility. And he trusts God for a response. So we've got a wonderful green box in the middle of that. But what about us? When we ask things of God, do we expect a response? Do we even think of asking things of God? Do we think about asking God for things that will help build us as a church family? Do we ask for things like confidence in sharing our faith? Do we ask kind of what we could do to play our part in the kingdom of God here in Ramsgate? And part of us, we've been doing this in the year of discernment, haven't we? We've actually been asking as a church corporately, what are we going to do? How are we going to continue this legacy that we've been given, this faith that we want to pass on? Let's ask God for those things that we can develop and use. But I wonder how we then listen for a response. And again, we've been taking this year to try and listen and hear from God. But how do we individually hear from him? And how do we do that maybe in a more corporate sense? I don't know for you, but there are many ways that we can hear and listen to God. I think for me, the important thing is about listening. Now, I'm very good at putting on music and kind of filling my house with lots of noise and distractions. I quite often will find myself that I've got something that I'm streaming, but I'm also on my phone and thinking, this isn't great for me. Where am I leaving that space for being able to actually hear from God? I was sharing at St. George's that I grew up, when I used to go around my aunt and uncle's house, at Christmas, I remember it particularly, but we'd have sort of the TV on ready for the Queen's speech, we'd have someone on the piano, there'd be a radio on somewhere, there'd be something else, and it was just like full of noise and chaos, brilliant, but full of chaos and noise. But if we're living our lives like that, where is the space for listening and hearing from God? And then how do we hear? For some of us, it will be that there's powerful words spoken in the sermon, that God's Spirit kind of stirs something in us. Some of us, it's when we on our own read our Bibles. It might be that we hear sort of like nudgings or things that are kind of brought up time and time again that make us think and reflect. I can remember when I was living in Central Asia and I kept having passages from Job come up. So in my kind of local fellowship with the kind of believing brothers and sisters out there, Job was being preached on. And then I can remember Job coming up again when I was doing my own Bible studies. And I kept thinking, I wonder if God is preparing me for something. This sense that actually there are going to be hard times, but God is still with Job in those hard times and hardships. I was going to say funny enough, it's not really funny, but kind of after that, probably, I don't know, a few months or so, at least in the following year, I had 3 significant losses in my life. But I can remember through it thinking, I know God was preparing me for this, and I know that he is a faithful God despite all of this that's happening. And so I really feel that God spoke to me in that, that I was hearing from him and being prepared. I wonder how we hear from God. Some of us might have that, like there might be Bible passages that come up again and again. Often for me as well, sometimes it's song lyrics that are steeped in scripture, but those song lyrics sometimes bring faith to life again. Sometimes it can be dreams and visions. I haven't had the pleasure of that, but I know people that have, and it's not common in the West, but I know when I was in Central Asia, and particularly with kind of Muslim brothers and sisters that actually have heard of Jesus through dreams and visions and come to know him, taking on that kingdom legacy, that often means that their family reject them. And Solomon himself had a dream. And his motivation in that dream when he asked for wisdom wasn't about what he could gain for himself. Like I said, for us, what's our motivation in building up the kingdom, asking for these gifts that build up the kingdom of God? And God saw the good in Solomon's motivation, and we read that sort of from verse, I think it's verse 10 onwards, in response to Solomon's request. And Solomon sort of asks for kingdom justice. He wants to rule fairly. He wants kind of prosperity for his kingdom. And because God sees the motivation of that in Solomon, he gives more than Solomon asked for. He doesn't just give him wisdom, he gives him wealth and honor and status. But there is a condition placed on that, and that condition is kingdom obedience, to continue walking in the way of God, to continue following the commands and decrees and laws written down and passed on. Now, I've got a bit of a spoiler alert. So although Solomon did start out with great motivations and he was given wisdom, and we read on that he had this amazing example with a baby and being cut in half, I won't go into details, but that sort of sense of his wisdom was used, it was great wisdom. But Solomon didn't end well. His life ended with him not pursuing after God, not being obedient to his laws and commands. And he didn't maintain the kingdom legacy that had been passed on to him from his father. And sort of after Solomon's reign began the decline of the kingdom. So David had sort of united Israel under one kingdom, continued it on. And yet after Solomon, the kingdom divided. And there was northern kingdom and the southern kingdoms. And eventually they went into northern kingdom went into exile, southern kingdom was taken into exile. And it seemed like, well, what had happened here? And yet there was a promise that there would be a renewed kingdom, that a kingdom would be once again. And that David's promise, the promise that David had received from God about there being a king from his line, would come to fruition. And another spoiler alert, it's all about Jesus. But that was the truth, that Jesus was the fulfillment of the kingdom legacy. Jesus was a son of David. And in the genealogies in Matthew and in Luke's gospel, in both lines of the family tree, it traces back to King David as being an ancestor. And Jesus was going to be that king that fulfilled the kingdom legacy, that lived in perfect obedience to God, following all the commands and decrees and going even further to giving his life for the world, that all could live with him for eternity, reigning forever in the kingdom of heaven. And we're to continue on with that legacy as Christians, as believers in God. So do we believe that's our legacy? How are we living it out? Well, in Romans, we read that if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved, as in you will be part of the kingdom of God. You've got that kingdom legacy given to you. And in John's gospel we read, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And so as children of God, we have that inheritance, that legacy to pass on to others in what we say about God's kingdom, in what we do, so how we kind of show that in love and action, and how we are in our very character and being. I wonder how we are showing that to others, how we're passing on that kingdom legacy. So what is your legacy? What is our legacy? This is more a prayer for me, but I hope it's a prayer for you too, that I want my legacy to be the legacy of the kingdom, that I'll be seen as someone who listens to God and who obeys him, someone who seeks kingdom values in every walk of life, values that seek justice and mercy and peace and joy and love, that seek the truth, and someone that will tell the kingdom truth of the God that loved the world so much that Jesus came to die for the sins of the world and to bring new life and life in all its fullness. And so that's the legacy that I would want to continue. And I pray that we do, as a believing body here in Ramsgate, we'll continue that legacy of the kingdom in all that we say and do. And that we could say this Billy Graham quote that I'll end us with as a prayer for us, that the greatest legacy one can pass on to one's children and grandchildren, and that not necessarily being your biological children and grandchildren, but being kind of next generations. It's not money or other material things accumulated in one's life, but rather a legacy of character and faith. And so let's pray that for ourselves right now. Father God, we thank you for your love for the world. We thank you that you require of us love and obedience, and that we have that relationship with you. Lord, help us to be people that carry that legacy on, that develop in character and faith. Help us to build each other up and extend and build your kingdom. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.